Hi, you're listening to the Full Life Podcast with Melanie Lynham. Hello, thank you so much for joining me again today. Today is the first episode of a series that I'm doing called I Believe in Miracles. Usually I just release one episode a month, but I've decided that for this series, I'd like to do something just a bit special and do fortnightly episodes. So after this one today, you can expect to receive the next three episodes a bit closer together, and then after that, I'll go back to monthly. Why am I doing a bunch of episodes based on the topic of miracles? Well, firstly, because it's a topic that's close to my heart. As you may have already heard, we received this amazing miracle healing for our first baby, which was pretty great. But also because I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me to do that. And then thirdly, because I love to hear about the incredible things that God is doing in people's lives. It builds my own faith. It takes my eyes off of the natural and onto the supernatural and increases my own expectation. So I'm really excited about the people that I'm going to introduce you to. Next episode, we're going to hear from Jaylin, who tells us about how her baby boy was born with an underdeveloped brain and God's response to that situation. So be sure to keep an eye out for that episode in a fortnight. But today I'm having a conversation with my friend Lisa Schroeder. Lisa is a pastor at Hope Center in Brisbane. She's a mum of three beautiful girls and wife of Aaron. And this is the second time she's been on the Full Life Podcast and not the last. Lisa is full of wisdom and experience and full of the Holy Spirit. Today we lay a foundation talking about the theology of miracles and also hearing some incredible stories of what Lisa has seen the Lord do recently. So let's jump into it. Enjoy this conversation with Lisa Schroeder. Lisa, welcome back to the Full Life Podcast. Thank you for joining us again.
Oh my goodness, it is so exciting to be on the other side of the microphone with you, Mel.
Yes, you've been doing your own podcast as well, which you are no longer doing at the moment, but I take it that all of the episodes are still up?
Yeah, since the last time we chatted, I started a artist podcast, which is called My Crazy Artist Life, and I've just hung my hat up on that for the last few months just because life has gotten a lot more busy and a lot more ministry, and I just recognized the shift in seasons. But yeah, so it's really fun to be back here with you.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to have a listen to our first episode that we did together, that you can go back and have a listen to episode 20. It's called The Artist Pursuing What God Has Placed Inside of You. And that was a fantastic conversation that we had, that we're actually not speaking today about art and about creative things. Well, actually, we're talking about miracles. So that is creative, isn't it? This is the first episode of a series that I'm doing on the Full Life Podcast on miracles. I am talking to a few people that just have incredible stories, incredible testimonies of amazing things that God has done in their lives. And we're going to start with Lisa, because Lisa, you have witnessed quite a few miracles recently, haven't you?
Oh my goodness. We've been on a journey of expectation and prayer around the area of miracles. And since, oh my goodness, probably even since January this year, we see them almost weekly now at the moment.
And that's incredible.
They're very exciting. They're very exciting. And so God's taught us a lot about it over the last few years as we've kind of paddled out into the ocean of what does it look like.
Yeah. So what started this journey of studying miracles and pursuing God for them?
A couple of years ago, my husband and I were faced with a pretty big situation where we had to make a decision as to whether or not, am I really going to believe what the Bible says, or am I going to believe that when the Bible says that he does heal, I'm going to make this decision, he does heal. And so we had to make a stand of faith for healing a couple of years ago in our family. And as a result of that, we've had to learn and grow. And this was an environment where we weren't seeing a lot of miracles, but we just got a bit tenacious and said, no, the Bible does say, even though we don't see a lot of miracles at the moment, the Bible does say that he does heal. So therefore, we're going to start believing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. So then you started studying miracles. You've been studying miracles for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us what you've been learning.
Well, the first thing we did, because we were on our own faith journey, was we just literally saturated ourselves with the word, reading every, I honestly think I read like every miracle in the Bible. And then you get your favorite miracle and you read it like not once, not twice, like 50 times. And then I would find these amazing stories of people, of miracles, like with Catherine Kuhlman. I had this dusty little book under my bed that I had from a $2 gift show, and I read it and it just built so much faith in my heart that I'm like, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means if God did it in the 1960s and he did it so spectacularly, then I can expect God to do it. Not just a small kind of half miracle, but the whole spectacular glory of God miracle in our lives. And so we spent a lot of time listening to testimonies.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time in worship. We spent a lot of time studying the word. What does the word actually say? And a lot of time praying. And, you know, God, so he is so kind that he would take us on a journey where we would pray and we would see things start to shift, and they would start small, and then, you know, we would build our faith. You know, he's so good in teaching us. You know, it's like one step in front of another, and he just keeps revealing himself. And then you go, yes, if God could do it there, he can do it over here. You know, he's just so good with that.
Absolutely. If God can do a miracle for them, he can do a miracle for us. Yeah. That's the power of testimony, isn't it?
Oh, so powerful.
Sharing a story.
So.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Absolutely. So tell us about your uncle.
Oh, so we had, at the beginning of this year, my husband and I, we really wanted to start seeing miracles. We'd had prophetic words and promises, and we're like, right, let's go after this. And we'd spend a considerable amount of time just fasting and praying into what the promises that God had for us in our lives. My uncle was in New Zealand, and he had a major pancreatic attack where his kidney started shutting down, his pancreas started shutting down, he was having trouble bleeding, breathing, his heart started failing. They put him on life support and induced a coma in the hospital in Christchurch. And in the middle of us believing for miracles and building our faith, we got this phone call: Lisa, can you pray? Because your uncle, they're about to turn his life support off. They were flying his wife over. And we had just this massive week that week. And so we didn't even have a night free to pray until the Thursday night. And I'm like praying, God, please keep him alive until Thursday night so we can pray. On the Wednesday afternoon, just as I'm driving home from work, I get this supernatural picture. I might have just been cleaning up, can't remember. I got this supernatural picture of this spirit of death behind the bed in the ICU unit. When we started praying, me and my husband, on Thursday evening, the same picture came straight to my mind. I knew there was a spirit of death that was waiting for him at the head of his ICU bed. Now, I have never seen it happen where I could pray and cast a spirit out across the Tasman Sea. I've never seen that. I've never experienced it personally, but I chose to believe that the authority that we had through Jesus Christ was so strong that we could pray in our living room in Brisbane and it would affect reality over in Christchurch. And we prayed. The next day they pulled him out of ICU. They woke him up. They thought he was going to be on a ventilator for 6 months. He started breathing after 2 days. They thought he was going to be on dialysis for the rest of his life. His kidneys started functioning. Wow. They thought he was going to need insulin for his pancreas because his pancreas would have been damaged, and his pancreas started working.
Wow.
And now the doctors, long story short, the doctors have nicknamed him Lazarus because he was not supposed to recover. And I think sometimes we think, for him to have this miraculous recovery, he would like walk out of the hospital the next day. That didn't happen, but he defied the odds so spectacularly. Like, he's still in recovery, but he's like up and about. He's got a hope for a life.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a miracle in itself.
Yes, it is. Let's talk about what a miracle is. I looked up the definition on the internet.
I love Google.
And, yes, thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google.
I think we all have a pretty good idea of what a miracle is, but let's just go over it. It is an extraordinary event, a positive one, that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore attributed to a divine agency. So in other words, it's not something that we could have done ourselves.
Yeah.
It can't be explained by science or in any other way.
Yeah.
It has to be God. And the Hebrew word for miracle is nes, which means banner, flag, an action from God, the sail of a boat, a symbol of victory held high for all to see. I thought that was really interesting.
That is really interesting. I do love that. I do love that. I think miracles is when what happens in what is possible in the supernatural realm in heaven becomes reality here on earth. It's like our human limit is, we can't do stuff, but with God, he can do stuff. Now, the other thing that I really love is when you have a look at the word from Isaiah 53, he said, by his stripes we are healed. The word healed actually means body, soul, and spirit. It means salvation. It means deliverance. And it also means complete healing. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for a complete restoration, body, soul, and spirit in our lives. And there's another beautiful verse in where it says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. The second word free in that verse means to be set free from death, to be radically healed, to be made whole. It's like the word free means the fullness of everything that Jesus did on the cross. So if we're talking about personal miracles, it comes from the cross. It comes from what Jesus did. And it's like Jesus ticked every box.
Mm.
He ticked every box. He didn't leave anything off. It was so thorough that we can literally take it to the bank and say, God, you died, and I know because you died, you ticked this condition off the box.
Yes.
You know, like he really did such a thorough job, and I think we do a disservice when we start to believe that what we've got is too difficult for God.
Mm.
I would rather start praying prayers that match God's ability to what my experience is, because I think sometimes we think, well, I have never seen God heal this particular thing, so therefore I don't know if he can, rather than, no, when Jesus died on the cross, he did such a thorough job. He covered every single thing. So even though I haven't seen anybody being healed with my specific condition, I'm going to believe that Jesus covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe it also, it starts with knowing that God loves me. Because how can we believe God for a miracle, for him to bring a breakthrough and move mountains on our behalf, if we don't have the belief that God loves me?
This is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believed would be saved. So that whole thing comes from there. The reason Jesus died was because of his love for us. And I think the reason he heals today is because he is passionate about his kids.
Yeah.
He's passionate about us.
Yeah.
And he wants us to know and go, oh, my goodness, he really does love us, you know.
He really does. Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
And that comes through a personal revelation, like through a revelation, sorry, through a relationship with him.
It does. It does. I find it's really funny because I've heard these stories of people getting radically healed and they're not even saved for like 30 seconds. And God just like extravagantly shows love upon these people that have just like walked into church. You know, miracles is when drug addicts get absolutely released in a second, you know. So
you're right, actually.
Yes, it is a revelation of our love for God, but
God's love for us.
Miracles are not conditional.
You're right. You're right. You're so right. And when we look at the example that Jesus left for us in the Gospels, the miracles that he did, a lot of them were just in a crowd of people whom he had never met. He didn't have a personal relationship with them.
Well, it's the same with salvation. Mm. Salvation, you don't have to work for. You just receive by grace. Miracles are the same. Anything with the cross, it's not something that we earn. We don't get a miracle because we've been a good Christian and done all of the stuff. We do it because we receive it because we believed and he loves us. You know, we receive salvation because we believe. Miracles should not be any more complicated than saying yes to Jesus.
That's right.
Like, I think we overcomplicate it. We make it so far away and distant and too hard to achieve. And Jesus never died that miracles would be too hard to achieve. He died that he was like, if you believe.
Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said that, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name, they will. And then he goes on to list, like, cast out demons and will be healed and all these miracles. He just listed them off. So that's a promise there. That is for us to receive.
It is such a promise.
And then we look at also what was the purpose in the Gospels for the miracles that Jesus did. And Matthew 11, verse 20 and Luke 10, verse 13 point to that miracles are to bring repentance. Like one of the purposes are they bring repentance. So people in those towns that Jesus performed miracles in, they repented. And then also we know about them that they do require faith, because Jesus did few miracles in his own hometown because of the lack of faith. Because they were like, this is just Jesus. We know him. Right. He's a carpenter. Like, what's so special about it?
I'm so challenged. I'm so personally challenged to increase my expectation. I think sometimes when we go and pray for somebody, we pray for somebody and we think, and if you ask yourself, do I really expect this person to get healed? Because the Holy Spirit does respond to expectation. A couple of weeks ago, we had a situation in our church where I was asked to preach on faith and healing. And I had this challenge by the Holy Spirit to expect people to get healed when I taught about it. And so I, in my mind, expected people to get healed on the altar call, because I knew I was going to do an altar call. What I didn't expect was somebody to get healed sitting in their seat without anybody even praying for them. We had a woman who got healed, radically healed from extreme fatigue in her seat without anybody praying for her. And see, I don't believe that would have happened as easily without expectation. And then I had another time 1 week later where I went to a chapel service and I was like, God, I'm going to raise my expectation. If you healed one person, then maybe you could heal two people. And so I felt crazy, but I walked in and I'm like, I feel like God's going to heal two people today. And can I tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up. We had words of knowledge left, right, and center for stomach conditions, shoulders, backs, ears. We had somebody with a breast infection, and it was like the Holy Spirit was like, oh, you think I can do it? Okay.
Let me show you.
Let me show you what I can do. And I think when we get into that position where we're like, I think God can do this, that's when he's like, yes, I finally moved into the territory of the people in the crowd rather than the people in Nazareth village where they were like,
that's right.
Oh, I don't know. That's about right.
And Jesus was impressed by faith. He was impressed by the faith of the centurion. He was impressed by the faith of the woman with the bleeding condition who touched the edge of his robe and was healed. So healing does also, like, faith does activate. It kind of
does.
So what role then does faith play?
I love thinking about the role that faith plays in miracles. A little bit like, you know, the movie Sweet Home Alabama, where the guy goes out and he puts these lightning rods in the sand, and he's like, he's not controlling the lightning, but he's out there to catch the lightning. And I think faith works like a lightning rod, where you put your faith up. And your faith does not control what God does. He does what he wants to do. But your faith is attractive to the miracle. Your faith is attractive to God. And it's like positioning yourself ready to go. And it's that moment where you're like, I'm going to stick up a big lightning rod. And then I'm going to trust God that he's going to be faithful.
Right.
Whether I see it or not, my lightning rod is up. Whether it happens in my time frame or not, my lightning rod is not going to shift. It is going to stay up, up, and high up, you know. So that's the way that I see faith interacting with receiving a supernatural miracle.
Absolutely. Giving God every opportunity to do a miracle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is trusting the timing and not letting fear is the enemy of faith. So having fear at the same time, it just doesn't work. You have to have that complete confidence that what you're believing for is going to happen. I think Hebrews said 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we don't see. It's like, I've got my lightning rod up. I believe in the power that Jesus has, but I'm not going to let fear and doubt start white anting away out the faith that I've built.
That's right. Because sometimes we pray and believe for a miracle and then that miracle doesn't come.
Yeah. And there is always going to be a mystery in this. If it was going to be obvious, then it would never require faith.
So true, yeah.
Like if it was going to be a sure thing, then it would be just like the sun getting up in the morning and it wouldn't require a stretch on our behalf. Mm. And so you have to have this place where you're like, what's more important, seeing it in my time frame or believing what God
said?
That's
right. And also knowing that either way it's going to be good. Like when – and I can talk about this, I might – do an episode in this series on miracles, just once again sharing the story about the miracle that God did on our oldest daughter with her heart. Yeah. But I just remember when I was pregnant with her and we knew about the heart defect and we knew that it was possible that she might not live. I remember saying, like, I believe God for a miracle. I'm believing him to do a miracle, but I'm also preparing for what the doctors are saying could happen. And I'm believing that it was like having one foot in both realities. Not that I wasn't totally committed to believing God to do what he said he can do, but also, it's like this balance between I'm also in the real world. Like I'm also here in this world and I know that things don't always turn out the way I hope and what I'm praying for. So I'm going to do what I can as well to listen to the doctors. Yeah. But at the same time, I still am believing God and trusting him. And in eternity, like our salvation, that is the ultimate total complete healing. Like I have a dear friend who was just in her early 30s and she passed away from ovarian cancer, leaving behind husband and two young kids. And that was devastating. And I know she had so much faith to believe God for a miracle. Even to the day that she died, she still believed that God could do a miracle. So there was definitely no issue of a lack of faith for her. But, you know, right now, she is completely whole. She is in her heavenly body. Yeah. She's in the presence of Jesus. And she has received her healing, but just not in the way that we wanted. And the scripture that comes to mind is God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, yeah, just trusting in him too.
Absolutely. I think there's some why questions that it's really easy to go, why? And the thing is, our understanding will not be able to get it, and we have to reach a place where we're like, I'm not going to know why, but I'm still going to declare God is good. Yeah. I'm not going to question, and this is the challenge with walking a faith journey, is there does come opposition. The devil doesn't want you to get healed. There comes times of disappointment when you are thinking it's going to happen, but it doesn't happen. And this is where the power of worship. It's the Paul and Silas in the jail. They're beaten, they're bleeding, they're broken, and they lift up praise and say, I don't understand why, but I'm going to declare you on the throne, Jesus. I'm going to declare your blood is still greater. And even though I don't understand why all of these things have happened, I will praise you. And I'm not going to take a second away from that, or even doubt that God, you know, it's the reason why it can often bring into question God's character.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, is God really a good God? The answer is always yes. The answer is always yes. He is good God. He is such a good God. Paul writes, just after that incident of Paul and Silas in the jail, he writes to fight the good fight of faith. And in that analogy that he brings to fight the good fight of faith, if you think about us being soldiers in the army of God, you know it's going to be a battle. You know there's an enemy and the enemy's trying to take you out. You know that there's sin in the world, there's sickness in the world, and there's death in the world, and it's trying to take us out. And as a soldier, when you go out on the battlefield, you know there's an enemy that's going to be shooting against you and you could get hit. You could take a hit, and you know that the other fellow people in your regiment, they could take a hit too. And sometimes we do get wounded. Sometimes we get a hit in a wound, in a disappointment, and sometimes we lose people. But this is where we stand up and say, you are still good. Yeah. And we get our weapons out again of faith, and we stand up and we say, I choose to keep believing. Amen. I choose to not let disappointment make a stronghold in my life. I choose to not let bitterness get a stronghold. I am going to believe in the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
And Isaiah 7 verse 9 says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So you're right, just continuing to have a stance, a position of I'm continue to fight the fight of faith.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
keep that position. Keep it.
One of the things that I found so important was actually just getting the Word of God into you. You know, because the Word of God really is powerful. Yeah. And I think saturating your life with the Word of God is so important. Yeah. It's reading the scriptures and keeping them so that the loudest voice in your head is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, praise, keeping praise at the forefront of our hearts.
In our language.
And prayer. Yeah, and
definitely language. Guiding our words. Oh, my goodness.
We've had to repent of our language, which contains doubt.
Wow, yeah.
You know, James 3 says that the tongue, you know, it controls a ship and it says, how can life and death come out of the same tongue? You have to make a decision. I'm not going to speak negatively over my situation. Yeah. It's not denial. It's understanding the power of the Word of God and the power of our words, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Yeah. So when we received the diagnosis of Isabella, one of the first things that I did was I went to the Bible and I'm like, right, what does the Bible say? Because this was my first child. I had no idea. I was like, what does the Bible say about our children? Yeah. What does it say? What are his promises for our children? And I searched the Bible for scriptures that I could stand on and pray over my baby, our baby. Yeah. So I would encourage our listeners, I would encourage you today listening that if there is something that you are believing God for, if there is a need in your life, whether it is finances or healing for yourself or for a loved one, some kind of breakthrough, I would encourage you to go to the Word of God and find out, what does it say specifically for my situation? What does God promise me? What can I stand on? What will remind me of who he is? It says that he is our provider, that he is able to, that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I like to pray, Lord, you own all the money in all the banks. that he loves to give to us abundantly, that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask and imagine. So just,
I think getting that Rhema word, the word Rhema, what it really means is, well, this is not technical theological talk. It means there's a Bible verse that drops into your lap that is so powerful that it's like, you can't stop thinking about it, and you just know, because it hits you in the heart. You need to hang on to those words. So what I do is I've got a prayer journal and I write them down. When I get a word that I think, yep, that's for me, I write it down. I could be listening to a sermon at church and it's like there's one sentence which only contained like 10 letters, but that was like formed just for me, and I write it down. And then you build history. You build this history of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when you have those moments when you start to get that doubt, you go back into your journal and you read it and you're like, oh, I remember. Yeah. I remember when God spoke to me out of the story of, you know, the centurion. I remember when God spoke to me about the story of this story. And I remember this verse, and I remember, and you have your favorites and you come back to them. And what you find is that you'll have moments when they get easier to pull out of your heart, and you're like, no, the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. No, the Bible says that he who the Son says free is free indeed. No, the Bible says, and it is your counter-offensive to fear when fear comes against you, because you might find you get into a situation when you think, oh, my goodness, this is just too overwhelming. You get your and you feel like you're going to sink. You just get your eyes on Jesus. Do what Peter did. You get eyes on Jesus and you get your word going and you start declaring it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also important to going back to like the theology of miracles, I think it's important also for us to just take note here too that it is definitely God who performs the miracle and sometimes through people. Mm. So Acts chapter 19 verse 11 says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. And I just think that's really important, yes, just to take note of here, that it's not, we're not looking to, yeah, a specific healing evangelist. We're not looking to a pastor. We're not looking to somebody else, yeah, to perform a miracle. It is God who performs the miracle.
That's right. So faith, the gift of, there's in the Bible, there's two types of faith. There's the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So is faith, love, peace, joy, long-suffering. So faith is actually a fruit that we grow, and it's like if you think about an apple tree, if you get the word of God like the fertilizer and you pack it in around the apple tree, it's going to start growing fruit. And you may not get any fruit when you first start using your fruit of the spirit of faith. You may not get much fruit, but the more you pack the word of God around it, the bigger the apples are that are going to grow on the tree. And I actually believe every single believer should be able to access the gift of faith through the fruit of the Spirit. But then there's also the gift of faith, and the gift of faith is the supernatural impartation. It works like the prophetic gifts. It works like the gifts of words of knowledge. It's like situational, and it's like the Holy Spirit breathes on the situation, and then there's something in your knower that you know that God's going to do this, and you cannot explain it. You can't put words about it, and it's because it's not actually meant to be explained. It's a supernatural gift of faith on your life, and that's, it rises up. They did a study of over 20,000 miracles in Brazil, and they found a single common thread in every single testimony of healing, and it was this. They knew that they were going to get healed.
Wow.
And it was like they like woke up and they said, I know that today is my day. I know that when I walk out at the front, I'm going to get healed. I know that if I just declare this word, it's going to happen. I know. And it was like, they were convinced that this was their moment. And I think that is not something we conjure up because we want to like squeeze it out. It's something that the Holy Spirit builds in us, and then it's like the lightning rod. The lightning comes and our rod was ready, and then you just wake up one morning and God does something exceptional in your life. And I think that's awesome.
Fantastic. So good. Lisa, what do you think would be some barriers to receiving healing?
Definitely the Bible talks about unbelief is a huge barrier, which we've kind of talked about. But the other one that he talks about is actually having unforgiveness in your heart. They often talk about, confess your sins and then you will be healed. You know, there's actually power in making sure that we don't have unforgiveness in our heart. My father in the 70s was a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and he would often see miracles when he was up ministering in the villages. He had one day this woman, a husband and wife, that walked up to him, and she was deaf in one ear. And he'd seen deaf ears open before, and he was pray. He would have prayed with her for a good amount of time and nothing happened. And my father was like, what's going on here? And he asked the Holy Spirit, is there anything that we need to know? And he got a word of knowledge which said, is there anything that you need to repent of? And the woman burst into tears because in Papua New Guinea they often have more than one wife. And years ago there had been a second wife, and they hated each other. They hated each other so much that one day this woman killed the other wife in the bush and threw her body into the river. When my father realized that, she burst into tears, and he took her through a prayer of repentance and a prayer of forgiveness. Her eardrum opened up immediately. So I think,
wow.
It's really important if you've got unforgiveness towards, there's often spiritual roots to some diseases, not all. some. And sometimes making sure that you do not have unforgiveness towards a person is really, really important. One of the things that we've been seeing recently in our church is just since we've started pushing into miracles is we've seen a lot more miracles happen more frequently. And I'll just give you a couple of stories. So it's really important to listen to testimonies of people getting healed because it builds your faith. So if you need a healing, you need to find as many testimonies of people getting healed as possible and listen to them because they do build your faith. We had a woman that came in. She had a serious car accident where it had damaged her neck through her spine and it had damaged her voice box. And she could not talk. She could only whisper. And she didn't even come in for prayer. She was just sitting in our plaza area waiting for food assistance, actually. And one of the staff members said, look, we can pray for you, because she said, I've got to have this treatment on my voice box tomorrow because I can't talk. They prayed for her. The next morning she woke up, her voice box was physically damaged. The next morning she woke up and she could speak normally. What's amazing with that miracle, this is where, to the glory of God, her whole family returned to church.
Wow.
Within 2 weeks, her whole family and her kids and her grandkids, they all showed up at church because of this miracle. We had this other lady who had, this was only 2 weeks ago, severe gastroenteritis in her stomach, where she had so much stomach pain that she emailed me on the Thursday and said, I'm sorry, Lisa, I can't serve on team and volunteer anymore because I'm in so much pain, I can't stand it. She was waiting on the altar, she was getting prayer. Now somebody called out and said, you should rebuke the pain and pull it off in the name of Jesus. Now, I can't ever remember somebody actually saying that from the stage. But what happened was she said, okay, and she put her hands down near her stomach and rebuked the pain and commanded it to come out of her. The pain left instantly. She was this lovely lady. She was running around the plaza full of joy, asking her people to push on her stomach because it doesn't hurt anymore. And she was like, push on my stomach, push on my stomach. Push on my stomach. No, no, you have to push on my stomach. It doesn't hurt
anymore.
That's
incredible.
And she did that all the way after the service. We had this other beautiful lady, and this is the love of God that we talked about at the beginning. Beautiful lady, and she was not even on the altar call for healing. She was praying for other people, and she'd been using a walking stick for the last 2 years because of the pain in her leg. And she decided to leave her walking stick on her chair just so that it didn't get in the road of the altar call ministry. She was not even asking for a miracle. She was praying for somebody else, which is a huge key. If you need a miracle, pray for somebody else to get their miracle. It's such That's a huge great. Key. And she started praying for this other lady. And then on the way back to her seat, she was like, oh, hang on. My leg doesn't hurt anymore. And that was only 2 weeks ago.
That's incredible.
And she still doesn't walk with her walking
stick. It's amazing.
So we are starting to see these things more and more often. Yeah. And it builds faith, because then other people are like, I saw what that person had, so therefore I'm going to line up too because I believe in what I can do. Now, one of the huge revelations that I've had, and I just love this thought, often in church we can get so caught up on, it's got to be the right time of day, it's got to be the right song, it's got to be the right atmosphere, you need to get the goosebumps, you need to get the little, you know, you need to get all the little bits and pieces, and it's got to be the right preacher on the stage, and it's got to be the right person for me that prays for me. And I got this amazing revelation out of John 5, where Jesus walked into the pool of Bethsaida, where it was this supernatural environment that was like a hothouse, and it had to be the right conditions for you to get healed. And it was only when the stars lined up that you could get healed. But really, all it needed was for Jesus to be in the room. They were looking, and so don't look at who's the song leader for the day and whether you're at home or at church or in your car or in your bed. You don't need any of that. You just need Jesus in the room. He is all you need to be able to get healed. And I think we sometimes put too much weight on all of the other stuff. We just need Jesus in the room. And everything else happens from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jesus is everything. It's all powerful. He loves us.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So powerful.
Let's just
so
really powerful. Quickly talk about the power in praise and worship and just the breakthrough that can come from that. Earlier you brought up Paul and Silas and how they were in jail and they were there unfairly. They'd been beaten up and, you know, the average person would have, even the average Christian with strong faith could have been just feeling sorry for themselves and being like, but God, why don't you get us out of this? Like, we don't deserve this. We were serving you out there and we're in this situation. Yeah. But instead, Paul and Silas were just praising and worshiping the Lord. And everyone in the prison was listening to them. They were testifying to his goodness. And then that's when they received an incredible miracle. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I love it when you praise. We've had moments in our life when we should have been in a crumbling heap lying underneath the doona having a cup of tea and a good cry, and we've made the decision to praise. And what it does is the devil gives you his best shot and he thinks he's going to take you out, and instead of crumbling, you stand up and you say, God, I worship you. I worship you in my pain. I worship you in my suffering. I worship you in my grief. I worship you. And what it does is it disarms. It disarms disappointment. Mm. It disarms anger towards God. You cannot worship God and hate him at the same time. You cannot give abandoned worship towards God and think that he is mean at the same time. You cannot give abandoned worship to God and think that he's unfaithful. You declare his faithfulness. You declare goodness. You declare that he is still on the throne. And so I love to shove it back in the devil's face with the best worship that I can do.
Yeah.
And it's like Jericho. What brought the walls down? It was the shout of praise. And I think some situations need that focus, which says, I will not do anything except praise God. And I've seen it shift us personally, where our hearts, instead of being discouraged, it builds faith and we lift it up. And so I'm such a fan of praise as a weapon. It is such a weapon. And I think, you know, you should have such joy when you know you've been taking a hit. You should just have this joy. I'm gonna praise, and I'm gonna put my best praise on, and I'm gonna be the loudest praise. I'm gonna be so loud that the people across the aisle are gonna think, what is going on? But I'm gonna let all of heaven and hell know that I still declare Jesus is King. So I think it's such a weapon.
Absolutely. I always get this picture of, I always come back to the story of Job when he received bad news, like really bad news. Oh, all your children are dead. Yes. And you're like, and then he received more bad news that, oh, by the way, like everything you own has been destroyed. And then like more bad news, all of your slaves are all gone too. And just, after, like, in his immediate response was he fell down on his knees and he worshipped the Lord. And I just love the picture of that being our first response, worship the Lord. First response, worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's so good. Yeah. I'd really love just to share what it actually feels like to be healed.
Please.
Is that all right? And then I'd love to pray for some people. So one of my favorite teachers in the area of healing is a pastor by the name of Randy Clark, and he did a survey of over multiple thousands of people, and he asked them, what did it feel like? They found out that 60% of people, when they were getting physically healed, they actually felt something in their bodies. A lot of people felt like heat, and it kind of feels like this hot oil or like hot honey. Or I've heard stories of people feeling like somebody spilled a hot coffee on their back. Mm. but they turn around and there's nobody with a coffee. Their back just got healed. And it's usually on the location of where it is. Some people feel tickling. Some people feel cold. And some people feel like electricity coming through their body. But 40% of people don't feel anything. So 60% of people will get a physical manifestation of healings, but 40% won't. And you'll find that for the 40% that won't, they'll wake up the next morning. They'll grow into their healing. The healing will like come on gradually over a few days. Or the other thing is it's not until they start doing something, like they move their body, they lift their leg. They found that 100% of people with metal in their bodies got healed, not when they felt anything, but when they started doing something. And so there's a few dynamics in that. And I wanted just to say that because often I find people, they feel the heat, but they don't understand what it is. You know, or they might feel the tickling and they don't understand what it is. And you need to believe that the Holy Spirit's on you and just start testing that out because we're believing that it's going to get, that it is healing in progress. And, you know, so I hope that's really practical.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Help for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's pray. Is it all right if we pray for people?
Let's do that.
I, just like I prayed for my uncle in another country, I believe that God's power and anointing can happen over the airwaves, even through time. And so, Lord, I just speak over every person listening to this podcast right now. And I just speak life into their bodies. I speak resurrection power into their bodies. And in the name of Jesus, we command every cell to come into submission to the cross. We pray healing. We just release healing on every person, on every organ, every muscle. Lord, I release healing over shoulders and necks and minds in Jesus' name, over knees and hips. And I release over diagnosed conditions where the doctors have said there's no hope. Lord, we release it over every autoimmune disease in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, we declare that you are greater than all of these things. And I speak and I command, be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Just as you were praying, Lisa, I just had the thought of just somebody listening right now who has had this pressure on this chest, and it's this emotional, almost like even like this weight that is on them, this feeling of anxiety. And so I just in Jesus' name, I command that to leave, and I break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, set them free from that hold in Jesus' name. You are healed. Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. And we release every trauma from accidents. Lord, we release every trauma in the name of Jesus, and we command every spirit of infirmity to leave right now in Jesus' name. I just speak over people that have had long-term health issues where it's like health issues just keep rolling, and I command healing. And I speak over that spirit of infirmity to leave in the name of Jesus. Amen. I plead the blood over them. And I just pray that they would never have an issue again. And I just almost feel like you almost think that it's not ever going to change because it's always been like this. And these might be people that have had sicknesses in their body for 20 years or more. And we command healing in these bodies. We take authority over sickness. And we just receive your love in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Receive it. Thanks, Lisa.
So good.
So good. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you know somebody who would really benefit from listening to this episode, then click on the share button and send them a link. And if you haven't done it already, subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Talk to you soon.